20 today.
This is Free Talk Live. We are launching into hour number two of the program, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We go right into your phone calls to get things started here. Talk to Stephen in Colorado. Stephen, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Nick, and Mark.
Hey there. I'm reading, or actually listening to the For a New Liberty audiobook that I downloaded from Mises.org, which is Marian Rothbard's libertarian, which he used that word kind of interchangeably with anarchist. It's his basically recipe for an anarchist society.
Okay.
And it occurred to me that that since we live in this paradigm here, this governmental paradigm, that we might have to have two positions, and I hope you guys can help me sort this out. You guys are really smart, so maybe you can help me sort this out. And I was thinking specifically of the death penalty, for example. Do we have to have two positions on the death penalty, one under this current paradigm and then one under our ideal anarchical or libertarian or whatever you want to call it, voluntarist paradigm? You see what I mean?
I am in no way in favor of the death penalty under any circumstances.
Okay.
I'm of the opinion on the death penalty that the people that murder people deserve to get the death penalty. However, the governmental system that we currently have has failed too many times for my taste. According to, I think it's deathpenalty.org, there have been more than 220 or something like that, people released. I don't mean their sentences commuted. I mean people released from death row realizing that they were in fact innocent since 1971. And that's only 37 years. You're not talking. I mean, that's a great deal of people. The dozens a year, a dozen or so a year, something like that. So our system severely flawed for some reason or another.
And it's not. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, basically, if you have a system that's that flawed, I think we need to put the brakes on it. Do I think that people that murder somebody, especially in a particularly heinous way, deserve special punishment? Sure. We have death rows. Continue to use them. Put people on death row. Don't execute them. Just put them on the death row. They'll have a particularly bad punishment. For anybody who's been in prison, has some idea what this is like, that would really suck. It may suck worse than being put to death. We don't know. None of us have ever been put to death. So
right. Well, and as Rothbard points out, our current system is not victim based. It treats the society as the victim. And what ends up happening is, for example, I was just reading an article about the girl. Mark, you might be old enough to remember this. The other two guys aren't. I am. I remember it. There was about 1979 or 80 or so. There was a little 12-year-old girl who was raped, and her arms were chopped off by this man, and she was left in a drainage ditch.
I do think I recall that story.
Jeez. Yeah, now this woman and her family, you know, she's a woman now. They paid taxes to support this guy in prison.
Yeah.
So she was not only victimized one time; she was victimized the second time by
that's
the state.
A more market-based.
Say we might have to have two different positions. I'm like Mark. I think that, you know, if you take somebody's life, you need to have yours taken. However, under this current governmental paradigm, I think not, because A, it's not victim-based, and B, because as Mark points out, it's failed too many times.
I'd like to explain my position here as to why I'm completely against the death penalty, even if it's the free market that's deciding on it. And it's a similar reason to Mark. I mean, Mark, you pointed out there have been a lot of mistakes that have been found out. Who knows how many other mistakes have been made that just haven't been able to be improved, and there's a bunch of guys still sitting on death row, rotting away, completely innocent. We don't know how many innocent men there are sitting on death row. We don't know how many innocent men have been put to death. And certainly one could make the argument that justice in a free market system would be more accurate, because the entities that have an interest in providing that particular service are you know, they've got an interest in making sure that they do it accurately, because if they're not doing a good job, then people aren't going to use their services anymore. I mean, if it turns out that a private court or a private defense agency is rounding up the wrong people and putting the wrong people in work camps or something like that, or punishing them, they're going to lose business. They're going to go out of business. I mean, in a just society where people actually care about these sorts of things. So they're going to do a better job, but they're not going to do a perfect job. There's still going to be errors made, and those companies are going to have to pay for those errors. They're going to suffer reputation ratings, you know, decline as a result of making those mistakes. So they will trend towards the better, far better, I think, than government can do. But all that said, mistakes could still be made, and plus, even if it was a perfect system, even if every single person put to death in the free market society was the individual who committed the crime, then it's guaranteed that those victims are never going to get any sort of compensation. And I think that the free market justice system should be based primarily on restituting the victims, doing the best that they possibly can to make the victims as whole as they possibly can. Obviously, having insurance policies and things like that would be the ideal situation for unintended situations like that. But all that said, those insurance companies are going to need to make up that money somewhere, and putting the men that did the crime to work is a far better solution than just executing them and dumping a body.
Yeah, I think that I think all of us agree that people that commit crimes maliciously versus people that commit crimes accidentally, or not crimes, but people that harm other people accidentally, that people, you know, that do it maliciously deserve more punishment in some way than people who do it accidentally. I don't think that if you rob somebody for $100, that somehow is less, less bad than accidentally wrecking someone's car costing them $10,000. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there would have to be some kind of punishment. I don't know what that punishment would look like. I do think that Ian is right that a free market system, I don't know if a free market system is going to work entirely. I'm just saying that a free market system would come up with better punishments. It would be incentivized to do the best sorts of punishments, that the ones that help the victim, you know, they're the best for the victim, they're best for the criminal, and they're the best for society as a whole.
Help rehabilitate the criminal, perhaps, and make it so that he wants to participate, because nobody can force him to do the work. No one can force him to work at a factory line or answering phones or something like that.
I think first off, some of the first steps that one would need to take is not putting people that don't intentionally harm people in prison. By that, I mean, you know, and if you do put people, say, drunk drivers that harm people in prison, you put them in a special one that's all by themselves, because they don't need to be mixed up with the murderers.
I think you're getting into a dangerous area when you're talking about a private court system, assuming it wasn't arbitration, and I think that has its own problems. But if you're assuming this is a court system that feels it has the power to arrest somebody based on a claim made against them, to somehow detain them, and they stand to put people to work to deliver some kind of a monetary return to the victim, I don't know how you would fund this. Either it would be, you know, you'd have a subscriber-based thing, or they would get a cut of what people are doing in work camps. I think you're looking at a system where, number one, you don't have a jury, so you don't have 12 people who have to come to a unanimous decision about guilt or innocence. Arbitration.
I'll tell you, that system, the 12 people system, I know that it sounds great. It just simply doesn't work very well. We've got hundreds of years of evidence that the fact is they just want to get home.
They aren't professional arbitrators.
I'd also like to point out that the fact is, if two people are using a court system to arbitrate some dispute, they would be paying that court system. So both the victim and the criminal would be paying.
Well, the loser would pay.
And whether they would pay on the come, you know, in the future, or whether they would pay, you know, when they get there, that's how they would pay. The rates wouldn't change. And the fact is, if you're found guilty or innocent, maybe you can get some kind of settlement from the other person, but I don't see that a court system would be incentivized to send people to prison. I understand the problem with that, and we have it right now. The fact is, prisoners in many state prisons work for private companies, and the state prisons and the state governments get the money for those prisoners working. I wouldn't support any system where a court system benefited from people going to prison. This court system would benefit from people using it to arbitrate problems, it would, in what Ian's talking about, it would not benefit from people going to prison.
Even granted that point, you're still going to have the problem of crimes like murder and rape are not just about money to most people. And in the case of murder, you don't have a living victim who can say, I was murdered. So you're not actually prosecuting someone for the crime they committed.
There are people whose lives are affected by this. I mean, it could be the business that the person worked for, could be their family members, anybody else that they touch in their lives could very well easily be considered a victim in that case. More on the way. Thanks for the call. This is Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state, not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Ionic Zone has the lowest prices in the USA on shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. Ionic Zone shock treatment ozone generators are used by remediation contractors and homeowners alike to sterilize homes and cars, making them free from bacteria, molds, viruses, and complete removal of secondhand smoke, pet odors, you name it. What else can three oxygen atoms, in other words, ozone, do? Many hospitals sterilize their operating rooms with ozone before and after operations. And have you ever heard of ozone therapy? Ionic Zone has a wealth of information on ozone therapy. Ozone therapy is used, among other things, to raise the body's oxygen level, which studies suggest boosts the immune system. You can learn more about ozone therapy or Ionic Zone ozone generators by going to ioniczone.com or calling 800-549-9535. That's ioniczone.com or toll free 800-549-9535. Ionic Zone.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those, including live streams, broadband version of the show, dial-up version, both completely free for you, so enjoy them on us at freetalklive.com. Plus, did you know that over 35% of IT admins admit to snooping through their boss's email? Shouldn't your business email be secure? PrivacyHarbor.com is an email alternative that's private and confidential, guaranteed. PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure. I'd like to continue this discussion here that we've just kind of scratched the surface on, and that is of what a private justice system might end up looking like. What kind of criminals should be in prison? And that's the point I wanted to come back on to sort of kick off the whatever this discussion will end up entailing. And, of course, you guys are welcome to chime in with your thoughts or change the topic at 800-259-9231. But we were talking before about who should be imprisoned in a free market justice system. And I think that our mentality in this country, since we were raised to believe that the submission of laws, it's a law and order society, we've kind of got this law. When I say we, I mean generally in America, people have a law and order mentality. They believe that if somebody does something wrong, time in a prison cell is going to help solve that problem for whatever reason.
Yeah, in some way help solve that problem, and it really doesn't.
It doesn't. In fact, now, the opposite of the intended consequence.
I don't know about a free market judicial system, how that would work, what the implications would be. I think that they would be far-reaching. I think in some ways that you can certainly look at some benefits to it, but I think that the first way, when talking about punishments for crimes and that kind of thing, the first place to look is a free market correctional system, that where you would be essentially prisons would compete for convicts. Judges, let's say a government judge says, click, 10 years, and, sends the guy off. That guy would have to then decide between which prisons he wanted to end up in.
He'd likely be held
in the county jail where the sheriff holds the keys to the county jail, and he would then have the opportunity as quickly or as slowly as he likely would want to do to go to one of these prisons out there. Would there be a prison where guys get served a real steak? And
I don't know about that.
I got steak once, a few
really?
Times, a couple few times. I mean, it was a very special.
The ass end of the.
It's tasted really good. I couldn't tell, but, that's
you've been in 8 years at that point.
More like four, but yeah. It really doesn't matter at that point. It was for a JC's dinner, and the JC's club had raised money by taking photographs in the visiting park of convicts, and they used that money for their members, and so that's what it was for. However, would there be prisons where convicts got better food, had better accommodations, perhaps got to mix with the women or something like that? Sure, there would. There would also be a prison where people lived in a cell with a dirt floor with a hole in the floor where they had to use the bathroom because it would be based on behavior, work ethic, all kinds of things.
I think you're presuming something. You're presuming in what you're talking about there is that the system would continue going on as far as creating the amount of criminals that it does today with all this variety of different prison types. But I think we should look at, and this is something that can apply.
No, I don't think that.
Okay.
I don't think.
Well,
that
that's what it sounded like. That's
well,
what it
for one, the
like.
System is currently incentivized.
Because why do you need a prison with steak if you don't have any if you're not sending nonviolent people to prison, then you don't really need a prison with steak, right?
First off, one of the reasons that we're sending nonviolent people to prison is because our judicial system is incentivized to send nonviolent people to prison.
Right, so what I want to talk about here.
So I'm taking the incentivization away from the judicial system, away from the government entirely. When you take the prison system away from the government, they don't have any reason to want to send people to prison.
But to make something like that happen is just as unlikely as to actually change the laws to make it so those people aren't even being sent to a prison in the first place, aren't even put in through the court system in the first place. So
Ian,
I'd like to That's why I'd like to talk briefly about the types of people that should be sent to prison in an ideal situation. Because I was saying, this is a country where people just sort of think responsive, their initial response when somebody does something wrong, when someone harms another person, their property, is, well, that person should be put in jail for X amount of period of time. And then they just go and debate over what X should be. I think that we've already talked a lot on this show about how certain consensual criminals, like drug criminals, and so again, I'm using government's term criminal, but drug people, prostitutes, gamblers, all kinds of various different consensual crimes that are currently, in many cases, punished by time behind bars, should completely be wiped off the books. That would take a tremendous load off of the justice, so-called justice system, and off the prison system. But let's look a little deeper. What are the kinds of people that really should be kept behind bars? Well, certainly crazed mofos that are willing to keep killing no matter what. They have no remorse. Just the most terrible, awful, violent criminals you can imagine. Those people should be behind bars. But somebody who makes a mistake, accidentally, maybe vehicular manslaughter, something that was completely accidental. I don't even know if manslaughter can be accidental, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Something that
manslaughter is accidental.
Somebody might normally go to jail for, if they're an upstanding member of society, if they have a job, if they've got a family, it makes more sense to allow that person. And if they're willing to come to an agreement on making payments to the victims and their family, and that sort of thing, then they shouldn't be put in behind bars at all. They should be out working at their old job, doing what they were doing, and a percentage of their paycheck should be drafted and sent to the victim. So if we really start to whittle down the amount of categories as far as people that should go into prisons, I mean, there really won't be much need for prisons anymore. I think that a lot of people should be given the opportunity to make good, and unless there's some reason to believe that this person is going to skip out or something like that and is just going to run away, then they should be allowed to try that option, I think.
I can see the argument you're making, but if you're putting it in the hands of the victim, if, say, Mark cripples me in a car accident, and I have the option of, say, taking half of his paycheck for the next 10 years, or seeing him locked up for 5 years, I may very well say, I don't want the money, I want to see you sit in the jail cell.
You're right, and that's why insurance, I think, will play an important role, because you probably will likely have an insurance policy to cover tragic occurrences like that. The insurance company will give you the one lump sum that would have amounted to the payments over all those years, so whatever your policy would be, you'd get that lump sum as a possibility. I'm just talking about an option here, and then the insurance company, by right of subrogation, would then recoup whatever they could of that sum from the actual criminal, the person that committed the crime. So that removes that objection, I think.
Well, I also don't think the victims certainly a victim's opinion is important in the sentencing process. However, I don't think the victim should be, doing sentencing. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
So they shouldn't be made whole?
Okay.
Not everything's expressed in terms of money, so if I say that having somebody locked up who's harmed me for a period of time would make me whole,
are we talking about somebody who accidentally harmed you?
Not necessarily. I mean,
I don't have any problem with locking somebody up who has maliciously harmed you.
Right, are we talking about somebody who harmed you because they were drunk and then they apologized to you and they were telling you they'd do whatever they could to make it up? Or are we talking about somebody who hates your guts and is going to harm you again? There's so many different situations.
Right, there's a lot of different situations, and I don't think that they should be approached from the same standpoint.
Well, that's the problem.
Will you have an unreasonable victim out there? Absolutely, you will have an unreasonable victim out there. But
the problem with government laws is that it is a one-size-fits-all situation in many cases, where the judges are completely restricted to what they can do as far as punishment is concerned, and even though they keep trying to write more laws for more circumstances, there's no way that laws can ever cover all of the circumstances of reality. And I never suggested that the victim should be in charge of sentencing. More on the way here. You can take control, bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231.
Phase 1 of the Insider's plan for a one-world government has been initiated with the recent bailout. International bankers and power brokers have engineered the current crisis to create a new currency and a new world bank to act as savior. But we've only seen the beginning. Their next engineered crisis will be on a scale never before seen in modern times. Shortages and empty shelves will spread fear and panic across the land. The Insiders have discovered that they must control two things to seize total power. Phase 1 is a one-world currency, which we are currently being prepared to to accept. Phase 2 of their insidious plan is complete control of our food supplies. Go to www.foodshortageusa.com for the details. That's www.foodshortageusa.com to learn how to prepare for the unthinkable. Don't wait for empty shelves. Learn how to make your own survival foods for pennies on the dollar. Go to foodshortageusa.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
With Christmas right around the corner and an unstable economy looming, finding the right gift can be tough. Why not give the gift of an Excalibur dehydrator? The Excalibur dehydrator is not only economical, but also fun for the whole family. Save hundreds of dollars by drying your own fruits, vegetables, and meats. Make your own healthy snacks or start storing your own healthy food in case of emergencies, all with no added salts, fats, and preservatives. What a perfect gift for the health-conscious person in your family or for a friend who vows to eat healthier this coming year, even if that friend is you. For a limited time, receive the book Preserve It Naturally, filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free with your order. Just call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Or go to drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Excalibur Dehydrator wishes you and yours health and wellness for the new year.
If you could increase the effectiveness of your brain, would you do it? If you could discover an easy way to make your brain smarter, stronger, and faster for absolutely no cost at all, would you do it? Well, now you can by requesting a powerful free demo of IQ from Infinite Mind. Right now, when you call, we'll send you an absolutely free demo showing you how easy it is to increase your brain power in as little as 7 minutes. It's called IQ, and it will unleash your mind. Not only that, but you'll be able to read up to 1,000% faster, allowing you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read one. To increase the effectiveness of your brain in 7 minutes for free, call 1-800-398-4022. What have you got to lose? It only takes 7 minutes. It increases the speed and efficiency of your brain, and you can try it out absolutely free. Call now to get your free demo. Call IQ at 1-800-398-4022. That's 1-800-398-4022.
Fact. Rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution. Detoxification integrated with Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life, for mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being. Order your Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you like if you dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the Sickle CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features we give away, bulletin board system, Shrine of Female Listeners, archives, lots of them all free. Those other talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their site. So enjoy ours on us at freetalklive.com.
If you're looking to start a business, here's a word to the wise. Incorporate at LegalZoom.com. Incorporation can help protect you against frivolous lawsuits that could wipe you out. LegalZoom.com is fast and easy. They do all sorts of legal documents, patents, wills, trademarks. Use code FTL to save $10 off your order at LegalZoom.com. And now is a great time to incorporate because it's tax, you know, the end of the year, and taxes are going to be due April 15th. And you can get all the benefits from a tax standpoint of incorporation by doing it now for the whole year. LegalZoom.com, $10 off your order with it. code FTL.
By the way, before we continue the jail conversation and get to your phone calls, I'd like to insert an invitation to you to get more of Nick over at freemindstv.com. He's one of the co-hosts of the, and I think a very professionally produced television program coming out originating from here in the Keene, New Hampshire area, but dealing with many national issues. So worth a look if you're somewhere outside of the New England region. It's a worldwide international show. So head over to freemindstv.com. You can, of course, watch their television version of their show via YouTube. And I think you've actually, you put it on several different
YouTube,
video
Metacafe, most of the major video sites like YouTube. It's on there, or you can just go to the website and pick that up, and you can go to Freeminds TV or freemindsradio.com. It'll take you to the same place. We've got the radio show now, Sundays, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, so you can listen to us there, too.
Great, and of course, that's actually available on the Free Talk Live live stream, so you can just go through your regular process of listening to Free Talk Live, and if it's between Sunday, between 3 and 5 o'clock Eastern, you're going to hear Free Minds Radio. And, of course, the podcast and archives are also all available free to the end user at freemindstv.com.
That's right.
All right. So back to the discussion here. You guys were going to continue it during the break, and I said, well, hold on. Why don't you just do this on the air? So, Nick, you had a question for Mark?
Well, it seems to me that once you get to the point of debating a private justice system, which I know you're going to take offense to, but it sounds to me like, Mark, you're essentially advocating a private legal system, or at least moving very close to a private legal system, at which point you're really at the point of having a stateless society if
absolutely
law and
true
order is enforced.
I would agree that that is a true assertion. However, the only thing I'm advocating currently, and I'm willing to get to look at stateless societies as we take steps towards them, that kind of thing. I don't think I'm not interested in jumping into straight into the deep end of the pool on this one, but I am willing to look at the deep end of the pool. You have to get there at some point in life. But what I'm proposing is not a private judicial system or a private law enforcement system, only a private corrections system, where the judge would sentence somebody to however much time. I believe I am against people who are nonviolent going to prison, so thieves. I think that thieves are best served by, paying back their victims with a great deal of interest as a punishment for their crime. I don't see any good reason to send a thief to prison where he can learn about how to be a better criminal with a bunch of murderers and rape. Or, you know, actually, I wouldn't put rapists. I wouldn't put sex offenders in the same prisons as I would put armed robbers. I wouldn't put somebody who had been convicted of a DUI, manslaughter, in the same prison as any of those people either. I would have those three separate types of judicial systems because I think that it's a bad idea to mix those from my own personal experience of with eight years, 6 months in prison.
To me, it seems like you're looking at a very dangerous scenario where you're essentially partly privatizing crime and punishment. So you're making the incarceration part of it private, but you're still going to have a state out there, a government that will have laws on the books, will sentence people. I don't see how they're disincentivized or unincentivized to sentence people. I mean, you're assuming that the only reason they send people to prison is because there are some state employees who work at the prisons, but really they do it because they have that system of being able to send people to prison. That's how they exercise their power.
Understood.
So I don't see what you're solving by partly privatizing it. To me, it seems either you say
he's making himself feel better.
You're solving a really bad system, okay?
But you're not solving the system.
Well,
the correction system in and of itself is messed up. It when you look at the recidivism rates of convicts, you'll see that there's a lot of room for improvement there. I think that one of the problems for, one of the reasons for recidivant rates is because of the prison system itself.
I can see one of the major perks to what Mark is saying here. I mean, sitting as an outsider watching this conversation as the guy that wants the completely stateless society, but just looking at what Mark's suggesting as far as a change to the state system, I can see it as a real benefit because then the element of competition will come into play, considering that the criminal, in this case, the person who's being sentenced, will get to choose the prison. I think that's a major turning point as far as helping improve conditions in these places. Or as opposed to what we have today, where the government just says, okay, you're going to go here, and then you get what you get.
I think that obviously there's people that want to see convicts punished. They really do. And I think that it's not the role of society to, you know, just make life as bad as possible for people that are trying to make themselves better. See, one of our big problems with the judicial system currently is that you take bad people, you put them in a bad place with a bunch of other bad people, and then when they get out, you have the expectation that somehow they're going to act good.
Well,
they're not.
I've never really expected that it's a system of reform. I don't think it really
understood.
I think
who are going into prison will likely just continue to do that cycle for the rest of their lives. You're getting what you expect in that particular instance.
Not necessarily. I think it's always seemed like in practical terms it's crime and punishment, not crime and correction. But I mean,
would you be willing to look at corrections as a possible
doesn't correction make more sense than punishment?
I'd be willing to look at a system that's based on restitution for something like theft or a drunk driving accident if it's something that both parties agree to. So
I think restitution is a very important part of what I'm proposing also, because the convicts would be able to work. They would be able to earn money in this system, because currently they're not they're only negatively incentivized to work in a lot of cases. So earning money is important, and then they could pay some of that money to victims.
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there who don't like the idea of going to prison, and I know there's a lot of people out there who'd rather get a check than see somebody sent to jail for wronging them. So if there was a scenario where both parties, the accused and the person who's claiming to be a victim, want to go to arbitration, there's been a crime committed and they would like to opt for arbitration as an alternative, then I think that it should be outside the jurisdiction of the court system. But
that's not currently what's happening either.
No, so I mean,
but
maybe
I'm not talking about the court system, I mean, I'm talking about corrections. Try not to get these all muddied together, because they are separate entities that work together to incarcerate people.
I'm with Ian.
I wouldn't put any drug offenders in. I wouldn't put anybody who has who has not ever hurt anyone. I wouldn't put anybody in prison who hasn't maliciously hurt someone.
800-259-9231.
I get your point. I just think I have a very hard time dealing with a partly privatized scenario like Blackwater or any other government contractor. When you mix the government with private contractors, you can make the argument that civilian contractors, companies would want to not kill civilians because nobody who's hiring them would want to hire bloodthirsty mercenaries. But the fact is that people do want to hire bloodthirsty mercenaries as long as they get the job done. I think the same thing might apply to a court system.
Well,
so
I think that the difference now, I'm defending Mark's position here, the difference between Blackwater and private jails or private corrections facilities would be the competitive aspect, to where you're competing for the approval of the criminal. Instead of the companies that are looking for the military contract, they're just competing for the approval of whoever's handing out the contract at the government. So once Blackwater gets that deal, they're locked in, they've got the deal, it's a sweetheart political deal, whereas in this other case, you've got various different facilities that are competing for the approval of not some government bureaucrat or some committee, but for the actual criminal.
I think
so. It's a different situation.
A system that's going to work is going to take far more account to what the victim cares about than they currently do today. And I can tell you a story, when we come back, about what, just happened here in Keene.
All right, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Santa. Christmas Eve and you haven't left yet?
Ho, 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 ho. No. I can't find my keys.
Here's the perfect gift. Our patented Find One Find All Key Finder, or FOFA XD for short. Once a FOFA Key Finder is attached to each of those easy-to-lose things, it can find and be found by all the rest. Use your wallet to find your keys to find the remote control, or any of them to find an uncharged or muted cell phone. FOFA goes through walls, cushions, and laundry baskets up to 30 feet and projects a loud 90-plus decibel beep. And new for Christmas, there's even a FOFA just for eyeglasses.
Where did I put my glasses, Mrs. Claus? Oh, here they are.
Luckily, Rudolph's nose isn't the only thing that flashes.
Order your FOFA today with batteries included along with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 866-245-8670. That's 866-245-8670. Or buy online at findonefindall.com. Again, that's findonefindall.com.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lays Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at LaseMedInc.com. That's LaseMedInc.com today.
Have you ever wanted to generate your own supply of electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Solar-powered generators are now available from Solutions from Science, one of GCN's oldest and most trusted sponsors. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity for free. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, and even keep food from spoiling. Whether it's hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com and get off the grid today. That's mysolarbackup.com today. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Don't wait. Call today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, become an amplifier. Just head over to amp.freetalklive.com. Get on board for as little as $3 a month. We take that money in, reinvest it into the show, getting on more radio stations across the country, around the world, bringing them on board, bringing new listeners to the message of freedom and liberty. In fact, should be announcing a new station in Louisiana sometime soon, very soon. I just sent them a satellite receiver and got confirmation that it was delivered today, so that's going to be good news. And, of course, we wouldn't be able to afford to send them satellite receivers if they need those sorts of things without the AMP program. So beyond just buying advertising and reaching out to the stations, that AMP money actually goes to getting those stations on the air, physically putting the equipment in the rack that's necessary to bring our signal to their equipment. So that's one of the other things that AMP does, and if it weren't for the over 500, almost 600 people that are contributing a variety of amounts, but at least $3 a month to the show, we wouldn't be able to afford to do this. We wouldn't have a fraction of the radio stations that we currently have on board with us. So thanks to the amplifiers, and thanks to you if you are going to be amping sooner rather than later. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com, but even if you amp later, we still appreciate that too. And that again, amp. www.freetalklive.com. All right, so still continuing this prison discussion here, correctional institutions, talking about the justice system and privatizing or, I guess, taking it out of the hands of the government in many cases. Specifically, though, Mark, you're focusing on the corrections institutions. And, Nick, your position has basically been, well, you agree with some reform, but you're not so sure if that one is one that's...
To me, I'm a minarchist. One of the few things I think the state is probably necessary for that I have doubts about a market mechanism working effectively in is crime and punishment for crimes, you know, force and fraud. So theft, murder, rape, assault, those kinds of things where there is an injured party. You know, I think the injured party should have the say about whether a prosecution goes forward or not, not the state. The current system we have is flawed. And certainly we need to get rid of the victimless crimes we have, the drug laws, prostitution. We need to get those off the books. But, I think once you get to the point of talking about privatizing or semi-privatizing the justice system, you're essentially at the point where you're an anarcho-capitalist, whether you call yourself that or not.
Well, I don't call myself that. And I don't think that by using a government judge and a government police officer and having a private prison system that one could be called an anarcho-capitalist. I think that that's a stretch. But what you're proposing, although it sounds really great, it's really not much different than when the liberals have said to me, well, what if we could make the government as efficient as business? Well, yeah, what if we could get pigs to shoot rose petals out of their butts, too? The fact is, the state is not incentivized to dispense justice and not incentivized to correct people and not incentivized to do anything for the public at large.
It's also not
incentivized. Let me tell a story real quick about what happened here in Keene. Go ahead.
It's also not incentivized to do a good job when it's doing the things
right.
It's supposed to do.
It does a poor job, and you would agree. Everything the government does, they screw up, right?
They do it poorly at best.
They do it poorly at best. And I would agree that in some cases out there that I'll take poor over, the threat of chaos. However, in this particular instance, I don't think that I'm proposing anything that could be chaotic. There was a guy, a businessman, a bar owner who had, I think, a series of 12 break-ins in his business over a course of a couple of months. He put in a surveillance system. The second time, the guy was videotaped, he caught him. There was two perpetrators. He came in, he busted in, the business owner busted in, hit the guy with a piece of furniture. The guy ran out along with the female thief. Because of the videotape, the cops were able to find the guy, and they got him. And basically, they told the business owner, "Don't worry about it, man. We'll take care of this, and we'll call you when we need you." It's a state law that the victim must be, talked to about the sentence. It must be discussed with them, and all that other stuff. It wasn't discussed with him, and the sentence was handed down. It was 9 months with $300 restitution. There was $2,000 stolen over the course of these 12 break-ins from this business owner. It was just the till. Basically, the guy would go in and take the cash out of the register, and that was it. So the guy didn't get restitution to the level that he was stolen from, and the guy only got 9 months. The business owner would have liked to have seen him get more time. I would like to talk to the business owner about what would be superior. It would be better if he got restitution. And the guy never had to snitch on his co-thief, the woman.
Right. He should have gotten $3,000 or $4,000 and not spent any time in jail. Well, ideally, I think that would be a better situation.
I think so. If he did get some time in jail, the victim, at the very least, should have been talked to about this because it's a state law. But the fact is, these people are not incentivized by these people. I mean, the government people in charge of this stuff aren't incentivized. They, who cares whether we broke the law? What are they going to do, throw us in jail? No. So, life is going on. The people that broke the law, the only one that's in jail is the thief, and he didn't get that much time and doesn't have that much restitution. The person who screwed here, well, the business owner. So even though the system is written to do exactly what you're saying, it's not.
Well, and the rest of society is screwed.
Because pigs don't shoot rose petals out of their butts.
Well, the rest
ever.
At one time, the American justice system... At one time, a store owner would have had a lot more say and been more filled in on the trial. I can guarantee you that.
I agree with you that there was,
so
there was
to
probably...
Say it doesn't happen now is not to say that it never happened or it couldn't happen.
From the equation, victimless crimes like drug crimes would absolutely change the scenario here. You probably would have a situation where the victim would have more input. However, you wouldn't have, you still wouldn't be dealing with the problems of the, you know, correction system as it exists today, not correcting a darn thing, abuses of law enforcement officers, of prisons, prisoners in the correction system, the use of the state for prisoners for forced labor.
It doesn't
with
solve the incentive problem.
It doesn't
either.
Solve any of those things. Right. The incentive problem of judges sentencing people to prison. The fact is, you can look at old sentencing records and you will see that more people got sentenced to prison during harvest time than they did other times of the year. Why? Because they needed people to harvest the crops in the prisons. So the judges would send more people in because they were incentivized. Old boy networks, these people being in groups together.
Right. Well, you guys have all acknowledged, you both have acknowledged some common problems in the government system, and that is that the government can only do things poorly at best. So certainly if we cut out the nonviolent criminals and the consensual criminals and those people from the picture, clearly the government would be able to focus better, a little bit better, and on their, they'd focus their poor, piss-poor efforts a little better on the smaller caseload that they would have in that particular case. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, that would probably be a big improvement. Oh, I mean, it would definitely be a big improvement over what we have today in that the consensual criminals would no longer be going to jail.
And outlaw plea bargaining.
But it's one of the reasons why I will go all the way and I'll say that we don't need to have a government justice system at all, simply because we have seen in every single area where the free marketplace does it better than the government does. And as far as administering justice is concerned, that is a service that is in demand in the marketplace, and allowing the market to fill that demand will result in innovation, it will result in competition, the driving down of costs. Why anybody who considers themselves a fan of the marketplace could advocate for a monopolistic coercive system simply out of fear of what might happen in the market, it's still bewildering to me.
Well, you're talking about making a market for coercion to a large extent.
That's
if you're talking about private protection, I mean, in your scenario, Ian, all, you know, the law enforcement or however it would be, essentially you have security companies that would double as either police or armed forces for defense. You're talking about agencies, armies and police forces, magistrates, that their purpose in existing is to apply force. If people could get along and resolve things simply by talking about it, there would be no need for a justice system whatsoever, and there'd be no need for armies. So,
but the difference between what I'm talking about here, now there are some people who are free marketeers that would suggest that everything should be completely consensual, but I think that if you've got a murderer or a rapist out there, you've got to have a bounty hunter to bring that person in by force. But in the difference between what you're talking about, the current system with some minor changes, and my system, which is a completely...
Well, I don't know if I'd say some minor changes. You would essentially, I would say 80-90% of the people in prison would not be in prison.
But the difference here is that when that bounty hunter goes after that person, or when that insurance company, and the bounty hunter has been hired by the insurance company, when they're going after the person who they believe committed the rape or the murder, for instance, the violent crime, they better be right. Because if they're wrong, then they can take a hit in the marketplace. They can have a reputation damage. Whereas if the government screws up, as Marv was telling us, with the over 200 people released off of death row, nothing really ever happens. No punishment is ever meted out. I mean, they just say, whoops, sorry, we'll see you later. Have a nice day. You know, the judges are not punished. The people that put those people behind bars are not punished. There's no way for the marketplace to respond to that. The government malfeasance. But in the market, if people put the wrong guys in jail, then they're going to suffer some consequences. Hour 3 is coming up. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Did you miss your favorite shows on GCN today? Thanks to the continued support of our listeners, subscribers, and sponsors, we are proud to bring the GCN audience a new and exciting way to listen called On Demand. Available on GCNLive.com, On Demand plays each show continuously until the next time the show goes live. It's simple to use. Just go to GCNLive.com, click on the On Demand button, and find your favorite shows. Don't get discouraged. Get On Demand. Free. Thanks again to the listeners at GCNLive.com.